Elevate Maryland, a podcast with Maryland focus and Howard County roots. My name's Tom Cole, and we're back in downtown Columbia, live in the Merriweather District with my co-host, Candace Dotson-Reed. Candace, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing great. I am happy to be back. I texted you earlier today and was like, it's exciting to be back in front of a live audience with people and, you know, not a whole lot of masks, some masks. I mean, it feels good.
Yes.
We're finally back.
I'm glad you feel good because, as you know, every time, like, because I'm rusty and I need to hook up all this equipment. And that is not me. Like, I am not. I do not fix hinges in my house.
Right.
And I've got like all this stuff to hook up and make work. It's working. I mean, we'll see if anybody ever gets to listen to this, but it so far so good.
Well, at least the live audience who have joined us tonight will get to listen, so that's
yes,
a good thing.
And the speaker's working.
And that's great.
And we're celebrating something today.
We are celebrating something. We're celebrating two things. One, 5 years, folks. 5 years.
Please clap.
Yeah, 5 years. We're really proud to be celebrating our five-year anniversary. We cannot do this without the wonderful people who are here and our partners like Howard Hughes and Busboys and Poets and our previous locations. And, you know, we're just really grateful for the
support. May they rest in peace.
Yes, yes. We are super grateful for the support, and we thank all of you for that. And then I'm just going to take a personal note to say I'm so hype about Justice Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I am raising all of the glasses for the history.
Cheers.
History that was made yesterday, and so cheers.
Cheers.
Shout out to Justice Jackson.
Well, you know, we've done away with our three things, but this would normally be like the three things. Like,
it would
be two of our three things, and so I just want to make a highlight on Jackson Brown because Justice Brown, because I thought of you immediately.
Aww.
Because like you have taught so many people about why representation matters.
Yeah.
And you have educated so many people about this so that they experience that differently because of things that you have said and work that you have done. Whereas other people might say, okay, this is a great moment for America, but they also understand how that works itself back into the community and how representation changes people's lives, even when they're not the one becoming the Supreme Court justice.
Thank you for that, Tom. You make me like, this was not part of the script, folks. And like, you make me weep. I'm trying not to publicly cry every day. And, you know, I tweeted something yesterday about this that, you know, was super meaningful to me. I found out last week where my daughter's going to go after graduation in May. And just sort of, you know, her perspective, I texted her yesterday after I saw what happened and saw the results. And I just said to her, like, you know, like, dreams come true, period, hands down. And I'm super proud of her. I'm super proud of Justice Jackson and all of the people in our community who do good stuff with good people for good stuff. And so that was not part of the script. I'm not going to cry.
I had dot, dot, dot. Like I was going to say whatever I wanted to say.
That is true.
Would you like to officially welcome our guest?
I will. But before I do that, folks may remember we have a partnership with The Third.
Yes.
And we like to highlight Black women-owned businesses or women of color businesses in Howard County that are members of The Third. And so we have two of them tonight, and I'd like to take a second to acknowledge them. The first is Christina Sledge from Sledge House Media, LLC. You can find her at info@sledgehousemedia.com. Sledge House Media was created to share the untold stories of the average person. After all, to understand someone else's experiences, it's important to take a walk in their shoes. So please check out Christina. And then Camille Mazalev of Cultivated Women. You can find her at camille@cultivatedwoman.com. And it's a heart-centered, woman-destined business to impact their communities and ready to start or grow or scale their businesses. They work with Camille to cultivate their legacies through monetization, profit maximization, and all the right tools, system, and processes for their organizations. And so please check those two businesses out. And as always, support The Third. They have a fundraising effort going on right now. Check them out. Get on there. $10 to $110,000 works for them. So thank you. Yes. With that,
please do.
Yes, I'd like to officially welcome our guest, Jansen Evelyn. You know, normally I'd give a long, drawn-out introduction of our guests and tell their backstory and do all these things. But anyone who knows Jansen knows that he tells the story better than anyone else. And so Jansen is running for Howard County Council in District 4, where we're sitting right now, against incumbent Deb Young. And so welcome Jansen to the show, folks. We are super excited to have him on, super excited to hear about his vision for District 4. And so I just pumped you up.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can live up to that.
What's the Jansen Evelyn story?
Well, before, well, you know my cousin's looking at me because she knows I'm going to correct it. It's Evelyn.
Evelyn, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
I've never said Evelyn. It's Evelyn?
It's Evelyn.
I'm sorry.
Like Adam and Eve, good evening.
I will never forget that.
No, you're fine. No, I was door knocking a couple of weekends ago, and this one lady said, I saw your name on the sign. Question, are you from England? And I said, no, I'm from a colony of England that was recently emancipated. And so many people, especially if they're, you know, English origin, they know that when it's a surname, it's Evelyn, when it's a first name. For a woman, it's typically Evelyn. When it's a male, it's typically Evelyn. So,
educating us. I love
yeah.
it. Already.
But before we even get started, I want to say thank you for having me on here. I've been listening to the podcast for several years, and I think one of the first times I ever met, I call her the Queen of Howard County. So one of the first times I'd ever met the Queen of Howard County, I had said, you know, I'm going to be on your podcast one day.
That's true.
I had literally said that. So I didn't know how or why, but now I'm here. So I know that there's a certain level of decorum that comes into play. I know. So Tom, this is a book for you.
Yes.
This is a book for you, Queen.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
It's from my guy, Harvey. Harvey, say hi to Harvey.
Oh, Harvey.
So I met Harvey about a week and a half ago at Bus Boys. They had their open mic night. And I got up, I did something. He also got up and did something, but his something was significantly more impressive than my something. And he's the king of haikus. And so I just wanted to make sure that you guys had a chance to go back and reflect on that. And then also,
just real quick, it's Harvey Fitz, F-I-T-Z, for all of you that are looking to enjoy the poetry that was just gifted to the Queen of Howard County and I. Because I have heard Harvey's poetry previously, and this is something you need to check out. So Harvey Fitz, F-I-T-Z, get about it.
And the book is called To Haiku It May Concern. To haikum it may concern. Even that is dope.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm flipping through here and I'm like, wow. Wow.
I mean, like, just
the
just,
best. I'm gonna say
yeah,
one
gotta,
already. The best
one.
Method of teaching people how to treat you is self-respect. I mean, come on, Harvey. Come on, Harvey.
I gotta give you one more from Harvey.
I was trying not to curse. There's some in there that have curse words. I was trying to say, we got kids here.
We have cursed on this podcast.
We have cursed on this podcast. We got a whole crew of kids over here.
He had this, I heard him say this before. He said, you must be tired dating him and raising him are both full-time jobs.
Harvey. Harvey.
I don't know if you remember Dylon from the Dave Chappelle show.
Yeah.
Like, he comes with that hot fire. So anyway, Harvey. I know it's not about, but I wanted to make sure you guys had that.
Thank
also,
you. Thank you.
It's your fifth anniversary,
aww,
so
yay.
You can never have too much bubbly. So I've already forgotten what the question was. I guess
the
I was supposed to.
The Jansen Evelyn story.
I mean, my story is, I like to think the story of America is no different than most other people's. I'm an immigrant, or what they call a new American. But I've been here most of my life. I came here when I was 8. We spent the first year living with my uncle. In his basement bedroom, we stayed there for over a year. The five of us on a queen mattress, and eventually we transitioned to an apartment home, 2-bedroom. And you know, it was my parents and 3 of us. I have an older sister and a younger brother. And you know, once my sister, you know, hit puberty, we would have to leave when she was, you know, changing. Me and my brother shared a bed. My sister obviously had her own. So I mean, I say that because I grew up with the struggles of so many people that I know. I don't think my story is necessarily exceptional. I think my story is that of America, you know, and I don't subscribe to the whole bootstrap, pull yourself up mentality. I know that, like, I'm sitting here doing this podcast that I dreamt that I would always do, because there were so many people that had poured and invested into me, whether it was teachers, my parents. I mean, you've probably seen me post on IG before about my mom. She passed away a couple of years ago, but I always say I'm of the undefeated, not because I'm arrogant, but because I knew, like, where I came from. I mean, even when we were growing up, you know, the new term is that to be an Alice family. I guess that's really what we were, an Alice family. What is it? Asset limited, income, yeah. Constraint. Yeah. And so even though we were that, you know, I had a home that was filled with love. It was filled with two hardworking parents. We were in public transportation for the first 7 years we were in this country. And I saw what public transportation, the opportunities it gave my family. My mom got her, while working as a nursing assistant, went to community college. So I have a soft spot for community college because that changed the entire economic trajectory of my family's, like, life. I mean, she got an associate's in nursing, and immediately, you know, everything changed. It was like Jefferson's. We moved up from a two-bedroom to a three-bedroom apartment. Like, I think that's why I'm running. One of the reasons I'm running because I believe District 4, which is this beautiful district that has some of the wealthiest pockets as well as some of the pockets where you have a lot more Alice families, I think you need representation. So when Tom talked earlier about how you always mention representation, like, that is one of my primary things. Representation matters, and not just from a ethnic perspective or national origin perspective, though I will point out I would be the first person of color on the council outside of District 2. I would also be the first immigrant on the council. So, but that's not the reason. Those are some of the reasons representation matters, but it's not the complete picture. I mean, you need people that understands the struggles as well as the successes of this community. And it's weird to say I embody that. I've lived it. And I believe that we need leaders that will be leading from a place of real empathy. So I don't know if I answered your question.
You did. Yeah. I like it.
I'm sure you guys will follow up.
Well, my follow up on that is, you know, you've been out door knocking, and as someone who's door knocked myself, that's sort of like a unique life experience to just go door to door. And what I'm curious about is the Howard County Council is normally not made up of people that have your unique background. It is normally not made up of people that have been in Alice households. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, when you are meeting the people of District 4, are you finding some resonance of your experience and your life and what they're going through?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the part that's been the most, honestly, overwhelming. There were two things that most people think I'm an extrovert, but I'm probably like 51% extrovert. I can come out, I can do it, and then it just saps all of the energy. But the two things I was most afraid of were, you know, asking people for their hard-earned money and then door knocking. And maybe I'm just the rain man of door knocking, but it's been very, very, it's fun. It's fun. You go out there and you get to meet people and talk to people. And, you know, Howard County is so diverse. And I think a lot of the times the people that you hear the most, regardless of what side of the spectrum that's talking, it's the people that's already connected and they have access. And the people that don't have access, I mean, once they understand that there's power, that is straight up power to the people, I think the game is over. And so when I hit these doors and I talk to these people and I see all of the new Americans first Generation Americans, when I see all the people of color, when I see all the people that are out here just trying to make ends meet, there's a certain ability that I have to connect with them because, and it's not political, it's not like doing political posture, and it's just like I've lived that, I know that, and I tell them, you know, you're not alone. I mean, last week, a friend of mine had me speak to her political science class at Morgan, and it was virtual, and there was this one young lady that I just couldn't stop. I couldn't move my gaze from because she had on scrubs and she was holding a baby. And there was some guy walking by with a wife beater. There was a dog walking around. And when the teacher asked her a question, she had to get up and leave because there was just so much background ambient noise. And so I just sent her like a private message and I said, look, you know, like, I see you. You know, I know that this journey is hard, but once you pass it, it's powerful. And so, and I think that's what I bring to the council. There are other things I bring to the council, and without sounding arrogant, like, I also I think factually, when you look at all of the candidates, past, present, I arguably bring the most experienced candidate ever to the county council, working 10 years in local government, spending the past 4.5 in the C-suite of the county executive in 2 different administrations, having a portfolio of various departments, working on a lot of policy initiatives. I bring that, but in that moment when I saw that young lady, it wasn't the experience. It was the fact that, like, I know what she is going through, and I know that will make her part of the undefeated. And I know that once she gets by that, her child that she was holding in her lap will have a powerful story and a powerful motivation behind them. So that's what I see when I hit these doors. I see lots of people like that, and it's a beautiful thing.
Could I ask a follow-up on that? You know, this year is somewhat unique in Howard County, where candidates have their faces on their signs, and you're one of the candidates that does. Could you tell the story about the young man you ran into at Starbucks?
Oh, yeah, I was at Starbucks with, where is my, is she here? There she is. Shout out to Tina Horn. But I was at Starbucks with Tina. It was like an 8:30 a.m. meeting where she wanted me to meet, you know, another D4 constituent. And, you know, this guy was there, and he had just had a seven day old baby, infant. And he was, I know Tina and the other person, they were, I know the name, I just don't want to put people's name on blast.
Yeah.
like they were talking about the baby, and then eventually, because they know I suck at transitioning to the politics thing, they were like, you know, he's running for D4. And this guy, and this young brother, like a 25, 26 year old man, he was like, wait, you're the guy in the signs? And
I love it.
And he was like in this state of joy but I think it was more to do with the fact that he hasn't had sleep in several days. But I mean, he was just hype. And I was like, whoa, I don't even get hype off of seeing my name like that. And I mean, and then he immediately went and donated, and like a significant amount. And it was just, then he texted me and said, you know, I spoke to my wife about, and it's like, that's, and I don't use that story as like a, look at what I'm doing. Like,
but I pulled that story out of you. So
yeah, it's the energy. I think it's the energy that's happening. And I have several people that here in the audience that, you know, they go out and they're part of the believing in Evelyn army that hit these doors, and they, half the time, it's just you knock doors and people just end up all together talking, shooting the breeze. It's different, and it's fun.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, we love stories on Elevate. Like, we absolutely love stories. So thank you for telling that story, and thank you, Tom, for pulling that out of them. That one is a good one. We also love Tina Horn, by the way. Shout out to Tina, who's running in Wild Lake for Columbia Council. You're challenging a sitting county council person.
Yes.
Why? What's up?
Look, I've worked on. No, it's a great question. I appreciate it. Like I never planned on challenging anyone. I had a. For those that don't know me, I worked in, again, county government, where I had a very good position. That the more years you have under you, the more places you will land. It had growth opportunity. I didn't have much power, but I had access to power and a little bit of influence, and it was a great job. I used to always tell people, going to work is like being in an episode of like Wrecking Parks mixed with Game of Thrones. Like it was just that much fun. But I used to be the backup to the legislative coordinator, and I always paid attention to the legislation, and the more and more I started paying attention, the more I'm like, this is different. And I started looking for someone who would potentially come out and reflect the values of District 4 better. And then 2020 happened, you're dealing with grief, you're dealing with just the pandemic, and then I had this moment of clarity where it's like, when someone whom I had assisted in, advancing their career, they came to me and they said, after attending my mom's memorial, they said, I didn't understand why, you like looked out for me, but you're doing what your mom did for her community, her tribe. You're trying to do that for everybody. And there are very few moments in your life that you feel like your purpose have just been like articulated. And so that's why. And I feel like this is the opportunity and the platform to continue to elevate, advance, our residents, our neighbors, and show them like, look, you can keep watching the news or start to realize that all politics is local and get involved in your community. And I always tell Kiara from the CEI, but for that 2020 where, Willie, I, and the NAACP, we worked on, visioning and creating that George Washington Carver Growing Food Together CSA, and it was at the CEI, it became this place where organically community was being built in the midst of a pandemic. And once that summer ended, I mean, I was forever changed, so I couldn't go back. And then eventually people started telling me, hey, you have to tell your boss, and then you have to tell your boss's boss. I completely dragged my feet on doing that, because I knew that once this thing that I couldn't shake, once I started to verbalize it, especially to like my boss and my boss's boss, like things were going to change and that I would have to leave. And so, yeah, it's sometimes some people are like, you left a high paying government job to run for a part-time county council race. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not about money. It's about the fact that I have this, I feel like Liam Neeson and Taken, have a unique set of skill sets. I have a unique set of skill sets like in this moment in time. And I think another reason is to make sure that we put as many people who are not typically in tune with government and politics and the what they can do. Like I'm here to introduce them to how to get involved, how to get active, and create a whole different pipeline of leadership. So
I have a random aside that I have to say that's related, but talking about building community, the dirt from the CSA that you helped build is now in my backyard, in my garden, helping me create that kind of garden and environment for my family. So thank you for your work on that.
No, I will say this.
It's building community.
It is built. And it's I always tell people, it starts with a seed and it ends with zoning. Like, I'm dead serious, because once you start gardening and you realize, wait, I have this level of autonomy, I can grow this stuff, then eventually you start saying, why don't I have more access to these nutrient dense foods in my community? And then you start getting involved, and then you start, why don't I have more green infrastructure? Mm-hmm. It happened to me. It became this awakening. Yeah. And my boys used to tease me, because on Sundays we used to all go to the gym and I would, they would play basketball. I would attempt to play basketball. And then I started saying, hey, I think I might chill and just garden. And they used to clown me for a while until eventually they were like, hey, can you show me how to do that? So it, yeah, I think connection with the soil, it naturally builds connection with other people. There's some people in here whose name I won't mention that didn't know anything about garden, and now they garden more than I do. So
it's a good thing.
Now I am gonna follow up on Candace's question, because you're not running for an open seat.
Yeah.
And so when you are running as a challenger to an incumbent, your objective is to convince voters that they need to fire the incumbent and hire you. I think you've made a good case for why you should be hired, but why should they fire the incumbent?
So I don't walk around running negative campaigns, even though I can't say that they don't either. But the reality is, I mean, I'm running this race. I'm not running a race against I'm not running necessarily to unseat her. I'm running because I know what this community needs. And I believe that, again, in this moment in time, I am a stronger choice. I'm a choice that brings representation. I'm a choice that brings significantly more experience on every level, from macro to micro. And honestly, I don't know how many people know this, but I mean, when it gets to like the hyper local level, there's a very small population that really understand and has the name recognition. So yes, I'm running against an incumbent, but it's a first term incumbent. And honestly, I voted for that incumbent almost 4 years ago. I voted for that incumbent based on the values that they had espoused. And I'm wholly and utterly disappointed in how they have legislated, how they have led. I don't believe in riding the blue wave and then coming out as the Joe Manchin of Howard County. That's just not how I operate. So yeah, that's why I'm running, because every single thing on my platform, my policy orientation that I'm going to run on, like, it's not even something that I have to sit back and say, you know what, wait and see how I do this. Like, I've been doing this. Like, I've been doing this way before I started running. Like, both from my ECJ activism, both from my work in the county. Like, this is, yeah. So I'll stop talking right now before I get hype.
What are the biggest challenges facing Howard County broadly? Yeah. Not just in four, but broadly.
Oh, broadly? I mean, so the challenges that are facing Howard County and the challenges that are facing the state, the country, and I know many people told me stay away from this issue, but I said if I'm gonna put all my chips on the table like James Bond in Casino Royale, like, I can't ignore
this. You're a movie buff. We're expecting some good answers later.
I don't like James Bond, so.
Yeah, but that's that. I mean, Daniel Craig's James Bond is probably the best James Bond. But we'll that's one of those benign, unpopular opinions.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You, that's his. But no, that biggest issue facing Howard County is housing affordability, housing access. During the pandemic, I would see these signs where people would say, you know, heroes work here. And it used to really, really, really get under my skin, because I'm like, these heroes work here. Why can't they live here? And so that's literally one of my primary issues. And I think that all of the other stuff all intersects when you look at housing, when you look at environmental and climate justice and where composting goes. And I was happy the county exec decided to expand the compost, the amount of
green bins.
Yeah, green bins. Yeah. But I mean, the same way you have, regardless of where you are, whatever district, whether it's multifamily or single family, you have a blue bin, you should have a green bin, because that has way more immediate impact around on the environment around us. And I think I think that's what we need to be pushing. And that's one of the biggest environmental issues facing Howard County that we can easily address. But housing, the intersection between opportunities for more people, making sure that our these Alice households, making sure that these workers that keep having to travel multiple counties away, that they have a space to live in the community that they invest in. And again, this is not just unique to Howard County. This is nationwide. And there are solutions that are happening on a nationwide level or in other jurisdictions where people are addressing it. And there's no perfect solution, but what you can't do is pretend that Howard County is stuck in the 1980s. And while we're the second fastest growing county in Maryland, and again, I will represent this district, knowing that we have these principles that Columbia was founded on. We need to adapt them to the 21st century, create more transit oriented development, which will actually have a natural impact on public transportation. This is the last thing I'll probably say about the person I'm challenging, but they're stuck in decades gone. They are stuck on, they're living, and I'm not gonna use the term, the common acronym that everyone uses. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not gonna use that term, but the reality is it's 2022 and we need to start building housing like it's 2022 and planning for community development like it's 2022.
So I went to your announcement at Colorburst Park, and I was shocked when you mentioned Roslyn Rise. I was shocked when you mentioned Hickory Ridge.
Why?
Happily shocked.
I know I'm the person getting interviewed, but why were you shocked?
I got it all written out here. I was shocked because even those on the council that I know understand the need for housing, that understand that we need different housing modalities, that understand we need apartments, they would never say it in a political context. They would never say that this is something that is a good. It is something that is to be tolerated. It is something that is in the course of business. So my question for you, you've said housing is an issue, but I'm going to put on the hat of your critics.
Yeah,
and I'm going to say, are you pro-developer?
I need more wine.
No. I mean,
oh my gosh.
I need a shot. No, I'm joking. No, I'm not pro-developer. What I am is pro-community. And the reality is when you look at, I can be a part of 100 nonprofits, but the nonprofits are not who are going to bring that housing. So on my website, I'm very clear. I think there are things like community benefit agreements, CBAs, that are a useful tool in which to analyze how we're looking at placemaking. We have to do that. But developers, and I get it, here in Howard County, and particularly in Howard County, like, developers are characterized as, you know, like, they're like the villain in all the Disney movies. But to me, that entity is neither good or bad. I know what motivates them. What motivates them is profit. Let's just be real about that. Like, they're focused on profit. But when you have all of the stakeholders at the table in meaningful ways where you're able to shape the conversation, have input, not endless input after input that just delays, but when you're able to have input, you can get what you need. And some of the things that I worked in economic development, I can tell you some of the things that we need are ensuring that when these developments are being built, that we're making sure we have the right access, right percentage of women-owned, minority-owned, disabled-owned businesses. Also making sure that when it's gonna have an impact on infrastructure, making sure that the appropriate fees, the appropriate infrastructure is dealt with and paid for. Like, there's so many ways that, and it's not even a black or white. There are multiple ways, depending on the project, that you can look at these things. But what we can't do is just keep putting our head in the hole saying, we need more housing, but oh, not here. We need more housing, oh, but not here. Like, I'm sorry. And yes, all the politicians told me don't talk about this issue. And but I'm not running as a politician. Like, I'm running as a community advocate, as someone who's been in this community for a while, someone who understands. This is the last movie reference, I promise you. The Matrix is how I understand life. The Matrix is how I understand life. And you see, the reason why some people are laughing like that is because I always use that example. When you take the red pill and you understand how that system works, you now have the ability to navigate that system. I have no intentions or aspirations to be Neo. I don't believe I am. But in this moment, I may have some Morpheus-esque tendencies.
I love it. And before we get to your the last movie recommendation you made, because there are going to be several, apparently. I'm going to ask one more question, and then we'll get to the fun stuff. Although all this has been fun. This has been great. So you spent a time in county government, a significant amount of time.
Yes.
And you're like a policy wonk. And so what are some of the initiatives that you think that you would want to start when elected?
So the first one, I already talked about the expansion of the compost program. I've also a second thing that I really believe in, and I worked on that when I was with the county, is the new green fleet policy. I'm so sorry. I keep tapping the table.
Just apologize to me, because I gotta go try to get these things out of the audio.
All right, I'll keep my hands behind.
I'm only saying that as someone who has to, like, I'm sitting like this.
Okay, I'll do this. But no, I think the green fleet policy was a good first step. But I think that when you look at what Montgomery County has done with their climate action plan, which they went through an RFP process in 2020. They recently came out with some of their findings. I think that is also low-hanging fruit. I know that Howard County is in the last couple of months, they had part of the RFP to do something similar. I think it's overdue. The last time it was updated was 2015. It's definitely overdue. And I think once we get that climate action plan, there'll be lots of things that can be addressed. For example, in my portfolio when I was with the county, I used to work with fleet. So I can tell you that transitioning fleet to we started to transition it to hybrid and electric, but fully transition it to it, and then also get into a shared mode of fleet. Obviously, your public safety, they obviously have a large amount of the fleet vehicles, but we've already started Howard County started transitioning that to hybrid models. But your shared fleet, that should be fully electric, and it can be fully electric way before our current climate action plan. That's from an environmental and from an environmental level. I used to also work very closely with the Office of Human Rights. We were a FEPA, Fair Employment. We were FEPA. So I think we also should become fair housing as well. So those are ways that we can strengthen out our human rights. And you worked on that, by the way.
I did.
4 years ago. I remember. That's,
yeah.
I think that's one of the first times I met the queen.
oh my goodness.
Yeah, so those are some of the low hanging fruits. But then when you look at on a large scale, I get it. I'm on the council. So we're focused on the legislature. So I'm not going to act like I'm going to be on the executive side making all these administrative functions. But they have to use their bully pulpit to push some of these other initiatives. And some of it is, you know, an increased investment. This population is the second fastest growing, as I've mentioned earlier. And our school infrastructure is woefully behind. So those are things we have to continue to push. Let me see. I'm sure I could keep going. Do you want me to stop or keep going?
I think that's it. I got one more question before
please.
We go into the fun questions. And that is, I don't think a interview with Jansen is complete without asking you about art. I'm not going to ask you to rip out any poetry or anything like that, but I do want to ask you of what is art's role in your life and what is art's role in your campaign?
So So I'm a, if I were independently wealthy, I would probably own my own landscaping company and be some sort of traveling musician. I'm not like this guy here, man. This guy has his own reggae band. He didn't win the Oscar. He didn't win the Grammy this year, but I mean, I don't have that level of talent. But what I, but I do come from a very artistic family, extremely artistic family. Brianna is, she's not just who's sitting here and she's a nurse that worked on COVID research, but she also, she's an amazing singer. My sister sings, plays the violin. My oldest nephew just got accepted into Berkeley with a full scholarship. So I come from a musical, musically oriented family. I do more on the like art side. And this is the last thing I'll talk about in terms of politics. When people say, what's another reason you got into this race? It's the NCC, it's Toby's. When the vote, or not even the vote, the failure to have the principle to have a vote on the NCC project.
NCC's new cultural center.
The new cultural center that is going to be where Toby's is. And it's something that everyone in the community, even the one Republican in the council voted for, but are currently elected, had abstained on. That hit me on multiple levels. First, it was affordable housing, approximately 400 units in a place where you want that type of density, focused on art, artists and creatives. So that hit me wrong. And then also the expansion of arts, having these additional like theater spaces where you could expand the amount that art can do for these young kids. Many people that have heard me say this story, and well, for those who don't know me, when I was in high school, I got caught doing some things I probably shouldn't have done, and I almost spent a weekend at Boys Town. And because I was doing things that I idle hands, you know, idle hands is the devil's playground. And ultimately, I had a young teacher, shout out to Jason Cook. He made me and my best friend Shakir join his performing arts troupe. And I had to do things like grease. I mean, it was weird. We'd be there doing things like summer loving, happened so fast. But, you know, doing that, but it saved me. It kept me busy. It kept me on a straight and narrow. And even when I went to St. Mary's College, even though I was a poli-sci and African, poli-sci major, African diaspora studies minor, I still did a lot of main stage productions, including Othello, where for the first time I rocked the baldy, which was a precursor to my subsequent, you know, male pattern baldness. But no, I like arts. They've saved me so much. Even when I used to think I was a rapper doing freestyle contests, and then I transit. We're not talking about that now, Brian. even when I used to do a lot of rap, and then I transitioned to spoken word, which is why on some level, and I'll shut up after this, but Lucille Clifton, she was my professor at St. Mary's College, and I took two classes with her, which is why initially I wanted to just do the podcast with the Lucille Clifton in the background. I took two classes with her, Advanced Creative Writing and Night to Sing America. So arts has been something that's helped me process the high points in my life, as well as the low traumatic points, like, you know, like watching my mom succumb to a degenerative condition. Like arts and gardening have literally centered and at times saved me.
Well, you go win. We'll do something at Bus Boys and Poets with Lucille in the back. So go in. All right, we're gonna let you talk about your movies now. What was the last book, movie, and music recommendation you made to a friend or family member? Book, movie, music. You have to hit all three, of course.
Obviously.
And you can give two movies because
no, I'm not. No, I'm not even. I do a lot of. I do a lot of TV watching, but I will say that. I know that a lot of your guests come on, and when they talk about books, there's always some like high intellectual thing. That's the last book that
I Tom has read.
Yeah, yeah. The last book that I recommended, and I've been a huge advocate for, was Children of Blood and Bone.
Yes, I've read that book. It's
as,
great.
As well as this, as well as this, as well as the follow up.
Yes.
Children of what is it? Virtue and Wrath. Children of Wrath and. But the,
I have no idea.
I'm waiting for the third book to come out. But that book was so fascinating, and I gave my copy away to my cousin because I'm like, you gotta read this. This is like this is like Lord of the Rings, except it's like Lord of the Rings mixed with Wakanda. Mm-hmm. Like it was fire, and I read it literally in one night. I have a problem, an addiction. When I start reading, I don't stop. In terms of movies.
It better be good.
No, this may be a benign. This may be a benign opinion. This may be a benign opinion.
Well, don't waste your
Dune.
Right, like what?
Dune. Wow. Dune.
Yeah, Dune is an awesome
Dune
movie.
Was fire.
Yes. Yes.
Many people hated on it, but I.
The
He's
no,
not talking about
no,
the
I'm talking about the remake.
Yeah.
The original cannot hold a candle to the remake. It cannot. And the other movie, and I forget the name right now, but I'm a huge anime head, and there was Demon Slayer. It was a show I enjoyed tremendously, and it's really their second season, but they made it a movie. I forget the name. What's this?
What's the name of it?
Yeah.
It's called Demon Slayer Moving Train.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that was good. Again, it's not everyone's cup of tea. But if anyone likes anime, Demon Slayer is one you should thoroughly enjoy. In terms of
what are you listening to?
I listen to everything. But I will say the two things I'm listening to most right now: Coffee. Coffee. She's a reggae artist from Jamaica, probably the biggest reggae artist coming out of Jamaica right now. Young lady, 21 years old. She just released her second album this week, and it's pretty good. Well. And when I say pretty good, I mean it's like epic. I also, Moonchild, one of my favorite artists, they came out with an album 2 weeks ago. And they were in D.C. on April 1st, but I missed it because I wanted to support. And I was at Busboys last Friday, but they're amazing. Their new album's amazing. Tom Misch, I'm a big fan of Tom Misch. He has an album that came out last year with Yusef Days, and Yusef Days is a drummer, a young drummer, like 24 years old, and like that whole album is percussion led. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating to watch how, you know, instead of it being piano led, or you have it's percussion led. So it's a very, very fascinating album.
I've never felt so Gen X in my entire life. Are we talking about Belle Biv DeVoe
But I also, and then so I like a lot of like spiritual music as well, especially if it's artistic. There's a group called Porter's Gate that they make like this new style of. It's a very fascinating style. It's a collective, and they made. Their latest album is focused on, came out this month because it's focused on, Earth. It's Earth Month, so they have songs about the sun and the earth. And after George Floyd, they had justice songs and lament songs. So I think that a lot of times people, when they look at they separate their spirituality from how they look at the world. And I think this is a selection of new music, original music that actually shows how you're supposed to like kind of intersect or interact with the world.
I'm glad I don't do show notes anymore because I could not keep up with all that. What is the most unpopular, benign opinion you hold?
I mean, I think anime is the singular best form of television medium in which fully expresses the full palette of the human emotion.
That's mad specific.
Yes, but it is.
So, but like that's anime.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it is. I mean, literally my favorite anime of all time is about a guy playing chess. But it's just fascinating because you deal with the. Why are you laughing at me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
this show got like super deep, and like I'm trying to follow along. I'm like, no, that's great.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Oh, well, here's another one then. That's more.
No, it's okay.
No, that
okay.
was a good one.
Well, here's another one. I mean, the new Star Trek Discovery is probably the singularly best Star Trek product ever on the air. It's, but
what is going on the show? What is going on?
Live long and prosper.
What is actually going on the show? We're gonna end with something where I feel like your answer is gonna be great and where I can relate.
Okay.
And that's the question we ask all of our guests at the end of the show, and that is, what do you think we need to do to elevate Maryland?
We need to start listening to the people that don't traditionally have a seat at the table. Once we start to do that. Once you start to do that, then you're able to realize what their needs are. And shameless plug, but I am going to, and I do listen to the people who don't have a seat at the table, because I did not. And my primary purpose is to ensure that the people coming up after me, they don't have to go through what I did to get that seat at the table. And if not, build my own.
Guest, this is Jansen Evelyn.
I would like to close by thanking our audience, because this is a great turnout for our fifth anniversary show, a great turnout for a great candidate. I didn't want to let it go, because when you listen to this show, you know, some people listen to this, they never come. You don't know you got a full audience here. So
we're going to take a selfie.
Thank you for coming out. All right. Well, it'll be on our website.
We're going to do a selfie. It'll be on the website so you can see the crowd that's come out. And thank you. Like Tom said, this is great. Yeah. This is our first show back. First live show back in a while, and first time in this space since March 8th of 2020. Mm-hmm. And so we appreciate you all being here. It's been a tough 2 years, and this is great. And we mm-hmm. thank all of you. We thank Howard Hughes and Greg Fitchett, who was here before. Thank you for this. And then Rashida, of course, for all of her work to make sure that this happened for us. So thank you all. Go pick up Harvey Fitz's book.
Yep.
Check out the folks we mentioned at the beginning from the third, and thank you all for coming.
Yes,
thank you for having me.
All right.